This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries that are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. And today, stay tuned for a wild ride as we talk about the very borders of physics, chemistry, information theory, mathematics. With us today is Professor Paul Davies. He's a theoretical physicist, cosmologist, and broadcaster, best-selling author of more than 20 books on science, winner of the Templeton Prize, and he's the director of the Beyond Center for Fundamental Concepts in Science at Arizona State University. And we're going to be talking about his latest book, The Demon in the Machine, How Hidden Webs of Information Are Solving the Mystery of Life. And if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org. On that website, you'll see reference to my books and interviews. On Facebook, we have 3 million fans on Facebook. On Twitter, we have about 1 million fans per week on Twitter. And you see references to my 4 New York Times best-selling books on my website, mkaku.org. Well, let's begin with the discussion of your book, The Demon and the Machine, but also your path that led you to this point, starting in childhood. So when you were a child, what was it like? What steered you in the direction of science?
You know, people often ask me that. And the short answer is I grew up in post-war London, which was a period of great austerity. And so we didn't have all the fancy little gizmos and amusements that young people have today. We had to make our own entertainment. And for me, it was just a matter of stepping outside and looking up. And there was a wonderland above my head that most people never noticed. I'd talk about the stars and shooting stars and the planets and things like that. And I became sort of lost in a world of exotic things seen and even more exotic things unseen. I read about atoms and subatomic particles and was fascinated by invisible forces like magnetic fields, and all of this gripped my imagination under the age of 10, I might say. So from the earliest I can remember, I really was fascinated by science and resolved to make a career in science, and I've done just that. I've followed my dream.
Okay, now your book, The Demon in the Machine, tries to answer the question, one of the greatest questions in all of science, what is life? So how did you, as a physicist, get interested in solving this fundamental question, what is life?
One of the world's most famous physicists, Erwin Schrödinger, the founder of quantum mechanics, the most successful scientific theory ever, he did this in the 1920s, turned his attention to the problem of the physics of life during the midst of World War II, which was an extraordinary thing. He went to Dublin in Ireland during those war years, and Ireland was neutral, and he was able to indulge his interest in this crossover between physics and biology, because on the one hand, it's pretty clear physics deals with things like atoms, simple things at the bottom level. Biology deals with this complex, amazing, bizarre thing we call life, which looks like magic. And so somehow between atom and organism, magic comes in, and he wanted to know what was the source of that magic. He didn't get very far. He wrote a famous book called What is Life, published in 1944, 75 years ago. And I'm taking up where Schrodinger left off. I read that book when I was a student, and I was deeply intrigued, thinking, well, yes, you know, living organisms are made of perfectly ordinary matter. There's nothing special about the atoms in our body, but put it together, and it does something truly remarkable. I want to know how that magic emerges. I've always wanted to know that, and I think we're beginning to glimpse the answer.
Okay, well, there were also two other young scientists who read that book, What is Life, by Erwin Schrödinger. We had James Watson and Francis Crick, winners of the Nobel Prize for isolating the molecule that contained the code of life. Now, in that book, I understand, Schrödinger said that there must be a molecule of some sort out there which contains a code, the code of life. And this is how Darwin's theory of evolution works, by mutations in that code. And so didn't their work eventually lead to the unraveling of the DNA molecule?
That's exactly right. Schrodinger himself didn't name DNA, but he did say there would be a molecule. He called it, curiously, an aperiodic crystal. What he meant by that was that this should not be like an ordinary crystal, because that just is a boring repeating structure. It can't encode much information. But it should have a molecule with the stability of a crystal. So this is something that could encode the information, vast amounts of information. I think today we all know that DNA is like the blueprint or the instruction manual for life, for building life. It's chock full of information. But what many people don't realize is it doesn't stop with DNA. We talk about genes as carrying information about hair color or eye color or something like that. But genes don't act in isolation. They form complex networks, and information flows around those networks. The genes can switch each other on and off. There are complex patterns of information pulsing around within the cells and between cells, signals between individual cells and between organs and between entire organisms. So the biological world is just full of information, webs of information, all the way from DNA right up to the whole planet, the entire ecosystem of the planet. I like to say that the biosphere is the original World Wide Web.
Now, some people say that that's just the beginning, because just to say that life is a code and the code is encoded in a molecule doesn't tell you, well, where did it come from? Was it purely random phenomenon that gave rise to this? I mean, what does it all mean? Where did it all come from? What are your thoughts?
In spite of decades of progress in biology, nobody can say how life began. Nobody can say what life is. It is a huge mystery as to how a mishmash of chemicals somehow transform themselves into this magical thing we call life. Now, there are lots of ideas about the first building blocks of life, but I'm not very impressed by this work, because it's a little bit like coming across New York City and saying, well, it's all amazing. How did this come to exist? And then after many years of work, announcing in triumph, well, we've figured out how to make a brick, so it's just a matter of more of the same. We know that's not true. It's not the building blocks that count. It's how they're put together into the elaborate and complex, and most importantly for me, information processing structures. So the shorthand way of saying that is that life has hardware, which is perfectly straightforward. Atoms of the same that we see in non-living systems, it's not the hardware that counts, it's the software. It's the information processing and storage capabilities. That's what defines life. So I'm interested
okay.
in the software of life.
Paul, let's take a short commercial break, and after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of your new book, The Demon in the Machine, How Hidden Webs of Information Are Solving the Mystery of Life. And if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call at 612 612- 1-800-564-8135. Ask a question, and maybe your thoughts will be heard on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. So stay tuned.
Hey guys, it's Sue Cosner, your favorite sexual health expert, with another version of Ask the Pro. This month, I got a letter from Sandy in Seattle about an explosive bedroom secret she and her husband recently discovered. She writes, "Dear Sue, my husband and I used to have a great life in the bedroom, but in the last few years, he has struggled. He's tried about everything, but nothing has worked. Then one day he came home and gave me a night I will never forget. He told me about this secret formula, Noxatril, that changed our life in the bedroom once and for all. Wow, Sandy, you beat me to it. I recommend Noxatril to every guy that struggles in the bedroom. It's the only one. Noxatril is all natural and works to increase blood flow fast. It's like that little blue pill on steroids. Noxatril has a special free bottle offer, shipped discreetly to your door.
To find out how to get your bottle of Noxatril, call 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954. Get your free bottle for a limited time. Call now. 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Perhaps one of the greatest mysteries in all of science is the question of life. What is life? Where did it come from? Where is it going? With us today is physicist Paul Davies, author of an exciting new book, The Demon in the Machine, How Hidden Webs of Information Are Solving the Mystery of Life. And he says that at the very center of the mystery of life is information. This is a new tack that scientists have not pursued very much. The question of what links biology, chemistry, physics, information theory, what links it all together, he says, is information theory. Now, we talked about Erwin Schrödinger, the man who helped to unravel the secret of quantum mechanics, which then led Crick and Watson to discover the DNA molecule. But you claim that behind all of this is information theory. And the man behind information theory was Turing, Alan Turing. So could you explain now where computers and Alan Turing's work comes into play?
this is the most fascinating aspect of my voyage of discovery into the nature of living matter, because it is really where these different subject areas like computing, physics and chemistry and information theory merge together. When you look back at the history of this, Alan Turing, I think, is well known to people these days as the man who broke the German U-boat Enigma code and possibly shortened World War II by many months, maybe even a year or two. Immensely significant work. And so he's known for his code-breaking capabilities. But he was famous as a mathematician before that, back in the early 1930s, because he came up with the concept that we would now call the computer, that is a universal programmable computer. And he came at this in a very abstract way by considering about under what circumstances can numbers be computed. That you might think that you could ask a question in fundamental mathematics. Let me just give you a very simple example. 11 is a prime number, true or false? You think, well, that in that case, we know that's true. You think, is it possible that any mathematical statement of that sort would have a definite answer, true or false? Well, it was already known from the work of the Austrian logician Kurt Gödel, also in the 1930s, that that wasn't always the case, that there are propositions which are undecidable. We simply cannot say true or false. Turing took that and turned it into practical mathematics, and he came up with the notion of what we would now call the computer, which is something which would return an answer. Could a number be computed, yes or no? It turns out most numbers are actually uncomputable. So this was how he got into it. And this led to the notion of a universal computer, a computer that could compute any number that was computable, a universal computer, what we now call the computer, or sometimes called a Turing machine. And this connects very much with life, because on the other side of the Atlantic, John von Neumann was also working during the war years on the notion of a universal computer. And he was interested, both Turing and von Neumann were interested in biology, because in a sense, a living organism is like a universal constructor. If you think about DNA, it's got instructions to make proteins, for example, and it can make, you can program it to make any protein that you like. You can edit those genes to make whatever protein you wanted. And it also replicates itself. So here we have a universal constructor, which is also a universal replicator. When you think about it, the rules for universal construction and universal computation are very, very close. Logically, they're very similar things. So here we see the merging of the foundations of computing and logic and biology and self-replicating machines. A whole bunch of subjects which are now of immense importance at the forefront of science coming together in the 30s and 40s in the shadow of a world war.
And you also go on to say that at the crux of chemistry, physics, mathematics, biology is information theory. So explain to us, what is information theory? Why does it underlie the internet, computers, everything around us? And not only that, but life itself, you say, can be viewed through the lens of information theory. So what is information theory?
Well, here we have yet another component of World War II science. So the problem, I think, is obvious to everybody. If you're trying to give a command or an instruction down a noisy telephone line, a crackly radio channel, that there's always a problem about will the information get through or will the message be garbled. And so a man called Claude Shannon was engaged by the U.S. military to work out the optimal way of encoding that information so there was the least chance of the message getting garbled or misunderstood. So he sat down to develop a formal theory of information and channels of information and information transfer and the optimal encoding. And now, when you think about a living organism, say DNA, Now, this is a repository of information. It's got the database which is necessary to build the organism. If a gene is expressed, that means that there's some machinery in the cell that creates a protein according to the orders in that gene. And this is a flow of information from the gene through this complicated channel, this chemical system, to the protein that makes it. So we see a direct comparison with information going down a noisy telephone line and information flowing from DNA into proteins. And by extension, we see within living organisms information flowing everywhere. The most conspicuous example is, of course, between your ears, that great information processor that we call the brain. But there are many, many examples of information organized in living systems. And so the essence of life is really the way chemistry has harnessed information transfer, storage, and processing to carry out what we might think of as an agenda. Living organisms seem to have goals or purposes. They have an agenda, and that agenda is implemented through the manipulation of information. Chemistry is important, of course, in biology, but it's really the information flow, the patterns of information, that gives living organisms their key features. So to understand it, we have to understand information theory, but that's the link that joins the world of physics and mathematics with the world of biology, with the world of life.
Now, in your book, you say this is not just an academic exercise in mathematics. No, we're talking about real-life applications. For example, cancer. For example, consciousness, life in outer space. So tell us how your theory sheds light on these subjects, cancer, life in outer space, and how it has practical applications.
Well, the easy one is life in outer space, because I think a lot of people feel that the universe should be teeming with life, but that's only the case if on an Earth-like planet, non-life turns into life with relative ease. That is to say that chemicals can become life just over a few million years. Now, we don't know that. We have no idea how life formed. If we want to understand the transition from non-life to life, we have to understand how this software of life I've been talking about comes into existence. So if we understand fully what it takes to turn non-life into life, we can answer that question, are we alone in the universe? If it turns out that that transition is relatively easy and we can replicate it in the lab, we can be pretty sure that the universe is teeming with life. But if it turns out that getting the software of life out of hardware, getting molecules to write their own code, if you like, if that step is a remarkably peculiar one, then it may well be that life is restricted to Earth. So it has that obvious application. When it comes to cancer, that's more of a practical thing. The way that cancer is characterized, there are a number of so-called...
Okay, let's take another short commercial break. And once again, you're listening to Professor Paul Davies. The book is called The Demon in the Machine. And if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letter to the radio station or website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can get on the national radio. Give us a call.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Elizabeth Warren proposed a $20 trillion addition in federal spending over the next decade to provide health care to every American without raising taxes on the middle class, a potentially risky effort that pits the goal of universal coverage against the skepticism of government-run health care. The details of Warren's Medicare for All plan aims to quell the criticism that the Massachusetts Democrat and presidential candidate has been extremely vague about how she would pay for her sweeping
spending proposal. Her refusal to say until now whether she would impose new taxes on the middle class, as fellow progressive White House hopeful Bernie Sanders has said he would, had become unbearable and made her a target in recent presidential debates. However, her detailed proposal was quickly attacked by her moderate rivals, including former Vice President Joe Biden, whose campaign said it amounts to mathematical gymnastics. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
You guys have a great product, and I tell my friends about it, and I was actually talking to a guy the other day who I just met, and he takes them. So you put out a great product, and I want to thank you and your organization.
I just started using it, and my family's already seen the difference. And I have health issues. I have fibromyalgia, asthma. But all of a sudden, everything's clearing up, and I'm feeling better, and my skin's better. My brother said I look 10 years younger already.
Wow. Okay.
My vision is clear. I already see the difference. People are seeing the difference, and my doctor is seeing the difference.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. Exclusions apply.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text 211 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over a million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text 211 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's D-O-1-1 to 350350.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Professor Paul Davies, theoretical physicist, cosmologist, broadcaster, winner of the Templeton Prize, and professor of physics at Arizona State University, and author of a new book, The Demon in the Machine. And we're talking about the origin of life, one of the greatest questions at the intersection of chemistry, physics, biology, and he claims that it is information theory that will help to unravel all the mysteries about life. Well, Paul, let me ask you a question that's been bothering me all these years. We know that all life on Earth can be traced to one molecule, just one molecule, called the DNA, rearranged in different ways. But the question is, if it happened once, how come it didn't happen twice? Three times? Was it just one molecule over 3.5 billion years? There should be other molecules that were also capable of self-replication, but we don't see them. We just see the same molecule rearranged in different ways. Any thoughts?
Well, the first thing I should say is that you're absolutely right. If you take the informational view of life, as I do, the software view, then there's no particular reason to be wedded to this molecule called DNA. It's a little bit like if you've got a file on your computer, maybe you use a PC, but you can download that file and transfer it to a Mac, or you could put it down an optical fiber, or you could store it in some totally different medium entirely. The message stays the same. The information content is the same. It's where the technical term is, it's independent of the substrate, the actual stuff in which it's instantiated. And so if you believe that life is really all about patterns of information, then it can be instantiated in many, many different forms. So there's no particular reason it has to be DNA. Now, DNA turns out to be a pretty good molecule to do the job, but we have no idea whether it's the only molecule. It would be surprising if it is. Now, your question is, why do we see only one form of life on Earth? And it's true that all life on Earth so far studied is the same life. It's using this same molecule, DNA, and a whole bunch of other molecules, I might say, which are the same. And in particular, it uses the same genetic code, because DNA has often said four letters. It's really four molecules in which that information is encoded. And so it's like a four-letter alphabet, but DNA, the genes in DNA code for proteins, which do a lot of the work in life, and proteins use an alphabet of 20 different symbols or different molecules called amino acids. So you've got a four-letter alphabet encoding for a 20-letter alphabet, and there is a mathematical table that connects the, if you like, DNA speak with the protein speak, the four-letter alphabet with the 20-letter alphabet. That code is universal across all known life on Earth. So this suggests a common origin. It suggests that all life that we have so far studied is the same life descending from a common ancestor. But, and there's a huge but here, we don't know that all life on Earth is the same life. All we know is that all the life we've so far studied. Now, almost all life on Earth is microbes, microbial, bacteria, for example, and archaea. And you can't tell by looking what makes them tick. You've got to delve into their biochemical innards to identify them. And most microbes on Earth haven't been cultured or characterized, let alone...
Okay, Paul, we have to take another short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of your book, The Demon in the Machine, How Hidden Webs of Information Are Solving the Mystery of Life. And if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call at 612-564-8135. Ask that question, and maybe you can be heard on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. So, give us a call.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We can all agree these are troubled times, right? So do you know who's on your wireless network? Whether it's a big company selling your data or a foreign hacker, if you're not protected, everybody sees your information. That's why you need Flash Routers, a custom Wi-Fi router created for privacy. Flash Routers uses a virtual private network or VPN to protect your online activity from hackers, trackers, and large corporations. And not just one, but all your devices with one out-of-the-box setup. Plus, Flash Routers also enhances your wireless network performance and unlocks powerful router management tools to let you take total control of your network. Call or click Flash Routers today at 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. That's 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. Protect your wireless home network today with Flash Routers.
To you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about one of the greatest mysteries in all of science. What is life? We know a lot about how life is put together, how it functions, how it operates, but where did it come from? Are other alternative forms of life possible? With us today is Professor Paul Davies, author of a new book, The Demon in the Machine: How Hidden Webs of Information Are Solving the Mystery of Life. And he claims that information theory stands at the center of the debate. It links together chemistry, physics, biology into one grand fabric. Well, before I ask you a question about cancer, you said that your theory has practical applications and sheds light on different mysteries about nature. So tell us a little bit about your theory of cancer.
I've been studying cancer for about 10 or 15 years. The National Cancer Institute asked me to do this, and so they were hoping that insights from physical science might shed new light on cancer. And it's most cancer biologists like to characterize cancer in terms of what they call certain hallmarks. I think many of these are familiar. For example, cancer switches off the mechanism that tells cells that they have to, in effect, commit suicide when they're past their use-by date or when they're damaged. It's called apoptosis. That gets disconnected. Cancer cells spread around the body. They migrate through the bloodstream, for example, and colonize remote organs. They do these weird things, and there are about 10 of these so-called hallmarks, but these are all physical processes. Now, what we've been trying to do is to characterize cancer in terms of its informational properties, because what goes wrong in cancer, you will see within the cancer cells that the patterns of information flow are disrupted, maybe by a mutation, maybe self-inflicted, maybe the cell is feeling under threat, and it switches some genes on and other genes off, changes those patterns. So there will be, in addition to the physical hallmarks of cancer, there will be informational hallmarks. And I have this dream, we're a long way from it yet, that you could fix cancer a little bit like you fix a bug in software. Supposing you've got a computer game, your favorite computer game, something like that, or Photoshop or whatever it is, and it won't boot up properly. It's got some sort of bug in it. And you can, as we know, you can just download some new software or a patch or something like that, and you can reboot the system and it can work. And so we're working on the idea that it's the information motifs and patterns that have got out of kilter in cancer, and that we would like to find a way to reboot it rather than just annihilate it, which is the current standard of care.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question coming from quantum physics, because you're an expert in that field. Roger Penrose, a famous physicist at Oxford University, has said that one day artificial intelligence will never be able to duplicate the human brain, because the human brain is quantum mechanical. And simply using transistors and circuits, you'll never be able to duplicate the brain, which he says is quantum mechanical. So what does he mean by that, and how has that theory held up with time?
Well, we started this discussion by talking about Erwin Schrödinger, one of the founders of quantum mechanics, and how important that was in gaining insights into the nature of life. But whether quantum mechanics plays a significant role other than giving us the rules of chemistry, whether it plays a significant role in life, is still very contentious. There clearly are some places where quantum mechanics makes a difference. And the one case that a lot of people talk about is the way some birds are able to sense the Earth's magnetic field and navigate. That seems to be some sort of quantum process going on. But when it comes to the brain as a whole, that's much more contentious. Is the brain using some sort of quantum trickery to affect its wonderful properties? Is consciousness somehow fundamentally associated with this thing called quantum mechanics? I'm open-minded, but I have to say pretty skeptical. The thing about quantum systems is that they deal only with very small molecules, and the brain is a
big thing. Paul, we're going to have to take another short commercial break, but after the break I'll ask you a question about, well, determinism and free will. Do we really have free will, or are we destined to obey the laws of Isaac Newton and carry out a script that we had no part in writing? Once again, this is Science Fantastic. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. And you can ask a question about the demon in the machine, the secret of life itself.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes. See Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Okaku. With us today is Professor of Theoretical Physics, Paul Davies, author of a new book, The Demon in the Machine. And we're talking about the demon that makes life itself possible. And he thinks that at the center of chemistry, biology, and physics is information theory. And there's a new theory just waiting to be discovered, which ties it all together and gives us the answer to the question, what is life? However, you also in the book ask a question about, well, free will and determinism. For example, on this show, we've had a number of people building robots, and they pretty much say that a robot has no free will. It does what you tell it to do. It's not responsible for any actions that it makes. It's a robot. And then the question is, if our brain can one day be simulated by transistors, then our brain is deterministic. That is, everything is determined ahead of time. There's no free will. If you commit a murder, it's not because of free will. No, it was preordained by the circuits in your brain that you would commit murder. Now, other people say, no, there is free will in the form of quantum mechanics. That is uncertainty. Roger Penrose, professor of physics at Oxford University, says there should be something quantum mechanical about the brain. Otherwise, we're robots. Otherwise, there's no free will at all. So here's a question for you. Do you think that we have free will? That is, if you commit a murder, was it preordained by your biology that you would commit a murder? Or is it an accident? Or, well, what are your thoughts about free will, determinism? Because it goes to the heart of whether or not we are robots.
You're absolutely right, and these are weighty questions, and I think my short answer is that I believe yes and no. That is to say, a great deal of what we do is in some sense preordained. That is to say, we will often act according to our nature, but that doesn't mean that we can't change that nature. And I think the key thing here is not quantum mechanics, it's the fact that the brain is an open system. Information flows in and out, and matter flows in and out. This argument about determinism, which we better remind our listeners that if you go back to the laws of Isaac Newton, it suggests that if you know the position and motion of every particle in the universe, then everything that ever happens is fixed according to mathematical law. So that would seem to leave no room for freedom. But that's applying it to the universe as a whole. If we take something like the human brain, then it's an open system with information flowing in and out of its environment. And even if I told you the exact physical state of your brain at any given time, I could not predict what you would do 1 second later for the simple reason that there's information coming in, information going out. I'd have to know the whole universe. And so that's a very hypothetical, a sort of reductio ad absurdum of the entire argument to say, well, if you knew everything in the universe, you would have no free will. But that nobody could ever test that. That's, I think, a quite ridiculous argument. So I think, yes, we do have an element of free will.
Well, Einstein was famously asked about free will, and he said that, well, yeah, a murderer, in some sense, is not really responsible for the fact that he committed a murder because he was preordained. However, he does not want to have tea with a murderer. Murderers should be put in jail because they're dangerous, but not because they free-willed it, not because they are evil, because he thought everything was preordained by the laws of Isaac Newton. Well, now we have quantum mechanics, which gives us uncertainty, and, you know, people like Roger Penrose think that somewhere in the brain there should be quantum uncertainty. But on this program, we've had some people who believe in artificial intelligence, and they believe that one day every single neuron of our brain will be duplicated by a transistor. Now, if our brain can be duplicated by a mass of billions and billions of transistors, then there's no free will at all. Sort of what Einstein said, that he does not want to have tea with a murderer, though murderers are not really responsible for committing murders. But what are your private thoughts about this question?
Well, Einstein, of course, never believed quantum mechanics. He thought that the world was fundamentally deterministic, right down at the bottom level. Very few scientists now believe that. But I don't think quantum mechanics is the answer either, because quantum mechanics gives you indeterminism. And you don't want that. You want your will to determine your actions. You don't want to be in a situation with quantum uncertainty that I want to raise my arm, but my foot goes up instead. That's not free will. So we need some sort of middle position. And I don't think we've completely worked it out. But it's very clear that a lot of what we do, in a sense, we can't help it. And so you're raising the moral questions about criminal justice. My feeling is you might need to lock people up for their own safety and the safety of other people. But as retribution, I think that is the wrong way to go. I don't believe in retributive justice. I just think that people's nature is in very large part already determined by their genetics and their environment and upbringing. And we have to take that into account when we are deciding what to do with criminals.
And in your book, you talk about consciousness, and on Science Fantastic, we've had a number of artificial intelligence people who say that one day we'll be able to work out the mechanics of the brain, but there's something called qualia. And qualia is a very ephemeral concept, the concept that one day robots will not be able to explain the color red, or robots will not be able to understand the beauty of a sunset. Things that are subjective and emotional, robots will never be able to explain. Well, unfortunately, we have run out of time. Once again, our special guest today has been Professor Paul Davies, author of an exciting new book, The Demon in the Machine, which tries to answer the question, what is life? It talks about the hidden webs of information that are solving the mystery of life. And again, if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station or the website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.